and I hit play on it. And I hear, "Hello, Dave. This is Michael Van Laar from Nuremberg, Germany. I'm in the basement of my brother's house. This is where I started." And that, which goes back to, it doesn't matter, just start. And my brother goes, "Did he say Nuremberg, Germany?" And I go, "Yeah." And we just sat there for the longest time, just, "Hello, Dave. Hello, Dave." And I'm like, "It's this." And I was just like, wow, there's somebody. I'm in the middle of Mogador, Ohio. Everyone together. Where? Yeah, exactly. It's me and the cows. And there's some guy on the other side of the planet that found my stuff.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the first part of my conversation with Dave Jackson. My next guest launched the School of Podcasting in 2005. He's been helping people understand technology for over 20 years as a corporate trainer and podcast consultant. He was also inducted into the Podcasting Hall of Fame in 2018. He's the author of the book, Profit from Your Podcast, Proven Strategies to Turn Listeners into a Livelihood. And over the years, he's launched over 30 different podcasts with over 4 million downloads. His name is Dave Jackson, and he's also quite a musician. If you want to learn more about what it takes to have a compelling podcast that lasts, and I'm always interested in learning about that myself, this is the place to be. I know Dave has a unique perspective on both where podcasting has been and where it's going, so you won't want to miss what he has to say. He's also pretty outspoken, so I'm looking forward to seeing where this conversation goes too. As always, if you have questions for my guest, you're welcome to reach out through the links in the show notes. If you have questions for me, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com, where you'll find a lot of ways to get in touch. Plus, subscribing to the newsletter will let you know when the new podcasts are available and what the newest audio chats will be about. And if you're getting some value from listening, the best ways to show your support are to share this podcast with a friend and leave an honest review. Both those things really help, and I'd love to feature your review on future podcasts. You can leave one either in written or in voice format from the podcast's main page. I would so appreciate that. And now, here's my conversation with Dave Jackson.
Thank you for being here, especially considering how busy your day has apparently been.
Well, I'm ready to let's just kick back and talk audio. So
totally. We can kick back and talk audio. So my very first question is if you have an early memory of how sound moved you.
Boy, it's funny. I used to drive. Well, first of all, I grew up in a house of music. So my mom was playing old Benny Goodman and Glenn Miller and big band stuff, because when she was growing up, that's what was big. So there was always that. And then my dad was into country and womp, 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 womp. So that was always in there. But I was always, I just consider myself a weird person. And so I was always making noises in one way or another. I remember watching Flipper trying to imitate a dolphin, which dates me. And I remember once my mom, we had back in the day, if you got whatever a Happy Meal was or whatever, you would get a Coke glass and you could collect the whole set kind of thing.
Oh, I remember those, especially the Star Wars ones.
And so we had them. We'd ran out of room in the cupboards for the glasses. So they just sat on the, you know, on your under the cabinets. And I would take them out as I'm talking on the phone, which of course was not, you know, it's wired to the wall. And I would fill them up and tune them. And I would be sitting there. You know, and I just remember my one time my mom looked at me and goes, "Can you not just talk on the phone?" Because I'm sitting there, ting, 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 ting. She's like, "Can you not?" So, so I always, you know, sound was always in my house. The other fun part is I always have sound in my head because I grew up in bands and very much the, if it's too loud, you're too old, man. And that's all fun and good until you're, later and
you can't hear anymore.
You can't hear anymore. And the only thing you hear is this lovely thing called the ring of tinnitus. So I do not like silence because the minute, like just now I said the word tinnitus and it's like in my head. Yes. So that's the other thing when it comes to sound that I'm like, I hate silence because it makes my ear ringing just, you know, kick into gear.
That must be hard for peace. Yeah. I don't know. How do you get your peace then if it's not with silence?
I don't. In a nutshell, I just had my best friend from forever was in town, and we're trying to squeeze him into my schedule. He goes, dude, when do you like relax? I go, what exactly is that again? I said, maybe if I watch a football game, but there's always something on. I'm even reading. I like reading, but that again, I have to have some sort of music on. When I sleep, I have a clean air machine on thing. So just drop dead silence is kind of my enemy.
Wow. Okay. That's got to be tough. And I feel for you.
And I'm the kind of guy that just works until I'm almost falling asleep at the keyboard. And then I go into the bed, I turn on the little air filter thingy. So I got a nice white noise going on and I drop. So.
Well, I guess you keep yourself really busy. So like, how does Libsyn fit into all this? I mean, how did you end up getting into podcasting in the first place, first of all, and then from there to Libsyn?
I my background's in teaching. So I have gray hair and I used to teach people back in the day how to surf the internet because they didn't know what it was. That's hard to believe.
I remember those days.
And I remember teaching email. And the person going, dude, he just hit send and like, it's already here. Like, how does that happen? What is this voodoo, you know, which is kind of what we're doing now with ChatGPT. And so I taught in the corporate world for decades. And the bad news is when you would hire salespeople that couldn't sell, instead of getting new salespeople, they would downsize the training department. So the last time that had happened, I was like, I'd really like to get a job in podcasting because at that point I'd been podcasting for 10 years and I knew everybody at Libsyn. I'd actually done a podcast with one of their vice presidents, Rob Walsh. And I just called him up and I said, hey, you want to have an awkward conversation? He's like, okay. And I said, the bad news is I lost my job and the good news is I'm available to work for you. And he's like, okay, I would say I'm sorry to hear that, but you know, what are you doing the rest of the day? And I go, yep. Probably laundry, you know, I just, and next thing you know, I'm on the phone with the president of Libsyn and I've been there 8 years now. So it's really great. I love it because it gives me a much wider view of what people are doing in podcasting, which then helps the school of podcasting and that whole nine yards. So it's been a lot of fun. And you know, a couple of years ago, the president looked at me and she said, we're not using you right, because I was basically doing tech support, which is fine. That's still kind of teaching one-on-one. And they deemed me the head of podcaster education. So now I'm a little more involved with the marketing team and some other things like that. So it's a fun place to work.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely sounds like they're actually paying attention to where you should be, which is a good thing. It's always nice to have people knowing what your strengths are and working towards them.
It's kind of funny because almost every job I've had, I eventually end up with one toe in the marketing department, one way or another. It's just something that always happens. They're like, this guy's kind of creative and he thinks different than other people do. Let's throw him over there in the marketing department. And that's what's happening in Libsyn. So
yeah. So why did you choose Libsyn? Was it specifically because they're the oldest ones in the market, or was there another reason?
Yeah, it was my favorite thing about Libsyn was in the like really early days. They'd been out maybe a year and I was using them because, well, that was the only place to go back then. And I remember they made a mistake and either you couldn't log in or something had happened. And it was a pretty big mistake. And they fixed it and they came out with an email that said, hey, to all of our customers, we made a mistake. Here's what happened. Here's the steps we've now taken so that it will never happen again. And it was so refreshing to just have somebody go, yeah, my bad. Oops, we didn't think about that. And just own it and go, we're really, really sorry. And so it was such a different approach as opposed to, you know, blame it on the internet or whatever. It was a glitch. It was just like, no, we made a mistake. And so I've always admired the relationship they had with their customers. And so, and at that point, I'd been a happy customer for 10 years. And they're out of Pittsburgh. I'm in Ohio. So I had bumped into them. There were some things in Pittsburgh I'd gone to. And so I just knew everybody over there and I liked their service. And I was like, well, if I have to stand up and say, this is the place where you host your media, I'm like, where would I go? And at the time I was like, hey, you know what? Libsyn. So that's why I chose them.
That makes total sense. Yeah. And I guess as someone who'd been podcasting for 10 years, you certainly stood out to them because I don't know how many other people would have been podcasting for 10 years up to that point.
Well, that's what your podcast can really be like your resume. Mm-hmm. I've gotten 3 jobs. I got hired at a college once for when I was still doing teaching. That was before Libsyn. And the fun part of that was they said, what do you do for hobbies? And I'm like, I play the guitar and I do podcasts. I'm like, wait, you do podcast? So that got me hired. And then I got hired to be the head of the New Media Expo, which was this big event that had blogging and YouTube and podcasts and all sorts of stuff. And they needed a podcast guy. And this sounds like a total humble brag, but the guy that was running it, I didn't work at Libsyn yet, called Libsyn. They said, what about Dave Jackson? Then they called Spreaker and they said, what about Dave Jackson? And then they called Blueberry and they said, what about Dave Jackson? I was like, wow. Excellent. My podcast has done its job by putting my brand out there. So
totally.
Yeah. It was a horrible job. I wish they would have sent somebody else. But
well, you know, we learn these things in hindsight, right?
Yeah. That was it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, there was a reason the old guy left. He saw the writing on the wall. So
yeah, but definitely.
It was a fun experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the experiences you've had have led to where you are now. So it's all good. You know, that's one of the things that I always say to people when they're starting in voiceover is that, you know, never discount what you did before, because it all comes into play. You never know where it's going to be useful. And it could just be that if you were you sold the drugs or something to doctors, that you knew how to pronounce all the drug names. And so now you're a fantastic medical narration person. You know, I mean, there's so many different ways that this could manifest itself, and definitely for podcasters as well. Same deal, you know, no matter what you're podcasting about.
Yeah. I know Kim Newlove does the pharmacist voice. She does exactly what you said. She was a pharmacist. She knew how to say all those wacky words, and she wanted to transition into something else, and she's got a great voice, and voila, there you go. Now if you need somebody to say, insert weird drug name here, you know, Kim can help you with that. Of course, you can help with that as well. So
I would probably forward that on to Kim, to be honest. I do some commercial in that area. I do a lot of healthcare commercials, and I've done, you know, various drug commercials and stuff like that as well. But medical narration, I tend to steer clear of. Yeah. That's not something that is in... That doesn't put me in my happy place. Let's just call it like it is.
Do you want to sound your absolute best when you're being interviewed on a podcast or when you're hosting your own show? I have a podcast episode and free downloadable worksheet called Sounding Your Best as a Podcast Guest off of the audiobrandingpodcast.com main page. Just click on the little square graphic to the left of the player displaying my podcast trailer. It gives you some comprehensive suggestions for where to start or for improving the sound you already have, including the type of microphones to consider and why, ideas for soundproofing your recording environment, and suggestions on how to get the best sound when you're being remotely recorded on services like Riverside FM or Squadcast. Don't let bad audio quality hold you back from being the best podcast guest or host you can be. And of course, if you happen to need voiceover for your intro and outro, feel free to get in touch. I'm happy to help. And now, back to the podcast.
But we all have our strengths and our weaknesses, and that's what your background will do. And I know, for instance, you're a musician as well, right? So has that background helped you with your podcast? I'm curious.
A little bit, in the fact that I already had half the gear I needed to start. So I had a beat up old SM58 and, you know, a couple cables and things like that. So I wasn't afraid to plug stuff in and just play. And I think that's, now that I say that, that's one of the things that I think podcasters don't do enough of just play. Like, as a musician, you spend hours in the basement, just woodshedding is what they call it. But you just, me, my best friend was just in town. We went out in the living room, plugged in some amps and just had fun. And it's that having fun part that makes you better at what you do. And so on occasion at Libsyn, I will have to do a video where I read a script. That is not my, you know, that's not my happy place right now. I'm not used to it because it's not written in the way I would talk, but I have taken to just at times, if I've got, you know, time to play, I'll just pull up a PDF, hit record, and see how much I can just read without making it sound like I'm reading it. Here is my, you know, podcast. Try to do that without tripping over my tongue and things like that. And I'm getting better at it. So yeah, it's, I think that's helped. And then to a certain extent, improv.
Because
all the bands I was in, we always just, it came to the solo and you would start off, I'm a lead guitar player. So you always played that opening riff that the guy on the record did. And then I would do whatever the heck I wanted. And then I would end with whatever he did on the record. And people go, wow, you played that note for note. And I'm thinking, no, I didn't. But just the ability to roll with the punches. And I had a webinar last week, and this never happens to anybody but me, I'm sure. But the software didn't do what it was supposed to do in the webinar.
Oh, never.
And I was like, oh, I'm so happy I found a bug on a live webinar. Mm. And I was just like, well, you know what? This might be having a hard time because we're recording the screen now. I'm not sure, but this would be a great time to show you how to find an answer. And I just went right into our knowledge base and pulled it up. And the one of the guys that was helping me, he goes, I have seen people crash and burn when things lock up or whatever. And I was like, well, I just was like, well, how am I going to pull myself out of this? So I think being able to improv and just roll with the punches, you know, because especially with, you know, the technology has gotten easier, it's gotten more affordable, but it's still technology, and technology is not always your friend. And so the more you do stuff like that, when it comes up, you're like, okay, well, that's not going to work. I had one last Saturday. They came out with this new thing. Ecamm Live is this live streaming software. And I don't know if it's a Mac thing or an Ecamm thing, but it's a weird thing. If I put up the peace sign, balloons just mysteriously appear out of my screen. And it worked.
Okay.
It worked great for my co-host. I did it. It completely locked up my camera. So there's like half a balloon in my face and it's just stuck. And I couldn't get out of it. We're still doing it. And I'm like, meanwhile, and I said, I asked him a question, and he kind of knew that was the hint of like, I need a long answer here. And so as he's going into it, I turned off my camera, and luckily with a Mac, you can easily tie your phone into it. And so I fired up my phone connected, I put it in, luckily I had a bracket to my phone in, switched the cameras by the time he was over. And I think I just panic less. Because anytime you're a performer, you know, when I was in a band, I was playing on the back of a flatbed truck and at the Football Hall of Fame thing that was going on in Ohio. And somebody had decided to plug all the lights into one extension cord. And I looked down and there's just this reel of, you know, 50-foot cord, and it's smoking.
Oh, no.
And you just kind of go, yeah, we're going to play in the dark in about 10 seconds. Oh. And luckily I was able to get somebody's attention. But so just being a musician and being a performer, you kind of get used to just, you know, things don't always work. And the best thing to do is don't panic. I know as a musician, if you make a mistake, if you play a bad note, you just smile and act like you meant to do it and play it again and then stretch it this time so it's the right note. So there, you learn ways to up with finesse.
Yeah, I always got the impression, and I am also a singer, so I've done probably way less live performances than you have, but I've done some live performances. I do one every year with a 9-piece jazz band, which we have a lot of fun with. But when I'm doing that, and when I'm doing any kind of performances, it's always about the entertainment. It's not necessarily about being perfect. It's about entertaining your audience. So as long as they get the idea of what you're doing, as long as they are still entertained and enjoying themselves, it doesn't really matter if you make a mistake here or there. You know, you can worry about that when you're recording an album in a studio.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it's not a big deal.
Well, and it's only when you grimace on stage and you're like, cry, and you yell at each other and the singer throws a hissy fit.
Yeah.
The audience didn't hear it. It's already gone and they're on to the next thing.
No one knows but us. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, so I'm curious about something. When you started as a podcast, and this was like way back now, what was the very first thing that you wanted to improve in your own podcast?
Probably not saying a million times. It was weird because I listened to my very first episode and I'm like, look, you can say it's not the radio. You don't have to be perfect. And I look back now and I just cringe. And there was that. And then I obsessed over the audio. And it was funny because for the longest time I was trying to get rid of the sound of the fan in my computer. And I'm in the room sitting next to the computer with the loud fan. And I had used noise gates and all these other little tools to kind of block out the background sound. And like an idiot, I would start off the show, you know, like this is 2005, like, hey, welcome to the show, blah, blah, blah. And I'd start off with an apology, which is like the worst way to, what a great first impression.
Of course, yeah. They tell you not to grimace in a music performance, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry about the fan noise and blah, blah. So finally, like, I've been, you know, trying to kill this thing for weeks. And finally, somebody emailed me, said, Dave, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't hear the fan. I wish you just would move on. And it dawned on me that I would hit stop on the record and then I would hit play and I would go, I still hear the fan noise. It finally dawned on me. I'm sitting right next to the computer with the fan. It's like, it's in the room. Go listen to this someplace else, you idiot. So yeah, that was probably the biggest thing I was doing. But back then it was just so new and you were just amazed. The thing that really got me into it is I'd taken a blog for musicians about how to get more gigs and sell more CDs and things like that. And so it was called the Musician Cyber Cooler was my first podcast. And I put it out and I got a voicemail from a guy named Michael Van Laar from Nuremberg, Germany. And I just remember I get this voicemail and I hit play on it and I hear, hello, Dave, this is Michael Van Laar from Nuremberg, Germany. I'm in the basement of my brother's house. This is where I started. And that, which goes back to, it doesn't matter, just start. And my brother goes, did he say Nuremberg, Germany? And I go, yeah. And we just sat there for the longest time, just, hello, Dave. Hello, Dave. And I'm like, it's this. And I was just like, wow, there's somebody. I'm in the middle of Mogador, Ohio. Everyone together. Where? Yeah, exactly. It's me and the cows. And there's some guy on the other side of the planet that found my stuff. And I was like, okay, I hereby claim podcasting as my new jam. So
it's super cool. Yeah, it is very, very incredible when you can make connections with people all over the world. I like,
yeah,
I've had people on my show from Australia, from Shanghai, from like, you know, every place around the world. And it just never gets old.
Yeah. It's and they always sound like they're right next to you. That's the part that,
yeah,
you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool what technology has been able to do for us. Sorry, I mentioned technology.
Shh.
Oh, no.
I think you have to say it three times.
Okay. So I've said it once. Yeah. Yeah. just one. So was there, speaking of all of this, was there a particular podcast episode that really stands out to you as one of the best ones that you ever did?
That I ever did?
Yeah.
Ooh. Probably the one that my audience refers to the most is episode 400, which I'm kind of like, hey, I just did 900. Like, what? Nothing in the last 500 is, no. schoolofpodcasting.com/400. And because I do this every 100 episodes, I just take my format, throw it out the window, and you just never know what you're going to get. And so in that episode, I decided to have a fictional radio morning zoo crew. So it was Binky and the Wiz, and they came and took over my studio and threw me in a broom closet, and they're doing all the radio stuff. You know, they're doing traffic and weather on the tens. And I'm like, yeah, you don't have to do that. The podcast and that whole nine yards. So everybody's like, when are you going to do more Binky and the Wiz? Well, they're all voiced by me. And Binky was like an exaggerated horse, David Lee Roth kind of imitation. So Binky's more like, hey man, what's going on? kind of thing. And I can do that about 2 minutes. And then my voice is like, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
And then the Wiz was just the Martian from old Bugs Bunny commercial. So he talked like this, but I made him stutter because he's on the radio. And that would make sense to have a stuttering person on the radio.
Oh, my goodness.
And everybody's like, when are you going to do more Binky and the Wiz? I'm like, no. So although I did get points on episode 900. I just interviewed Jesus Christ came on. I got a hold of his agent, and we just wanted to talk marketing and his family business. And they did a little bit of a rebrand and that whole nine yards. And that was, I got kudos for creativity on that. They're like, that was, because the whole point was I wanted to do it without being all, you know, Jesus-y. And so it was just a marketing discussion on how he markets. And is it really true you only had 12 followers when you started? And they're like, yeah, but you know, that whole nine yards. So
is very clever.
Yeah, so definitely. That was, but those are two that I've had people give feedback on. In terms of one that I remember, there's another OG. The guy's name is Dan Klass, And the show was called The Bitterest Pill. And this was back in the day when people used to talk about people going postal, where people would just go into a building and just shoot it up. And often it was in post offices and things like that. And his uncle, unfortunately, had been killed from somebody going into a building and just shooting it up. And so you got the behind the scenes of what it's like when somebody, you know, your uncle in this case, was killed in a mass shooting. You're just trying to grieve your uncle, and Channel 5 is trying to get the, you know, the soundbite of the day. And that was one, that was definitely what I call a driveway moment, where I'm already home. I should be going in my house. And I'm like, no, I'm going to sit here and listen to the end of this. That was one that was just information you can't get anyplace else, super vulnerable, and just a great storyteller. And so that's one that if somebody goes, okay, I'm new to podcasting, what's an episode I should listen to? I'm like, here's something that's entertaining and tugs at your heartstrings and all sorts of things. So
sure. Yeah. It's nice to have those reference points just to know what you're shooting for, you know?
Yeah.
No pun intended.
I know we're all super busy and pulled in so many different directions these days, so I wanted to take a moment to celebrate and thank the people who have taken the time to review this podcast. Playin' Games writes, great show. Jody has a terrific voice and great podcast. The content is meaningful and substantive for serious podcasters, folks interested in audio, and anyone interested in learning how audio, sound, can enhance their brand. Well done, Jody. And thank you, Playin' Games, for your fabulous review. I so appreciate that you took the time to do that and that you're enjoying what we do here. And now, back to the show.
I've listened to a couple of your, what do you call them? Your critiques of podcasts as well.
Yeah. I have one called the Podcast Rodeo Show.
Yes.
I have way too many podcasts, and a new media host had come out, and I had said, somebody said, well, what do you think of this? I'm like, well, I test these, and I'm like, I don't have time for another podcast. So I just made a show where I grab a random podcast, and as I listen to it, I kind of just go, okay, is the announcer voice ever going to come in here or whatever? Like, I listened to one a couple weeks ago, and they spent the first 8 minutes asking for money and kind of complaining that nobody was giving them money. And I'm like, probably because you haven't given them any value yet. Like, usually, you know, it was just kind of, that was odd thing. But yeah, that's it's something I just did, and I was going to stop it. It was supposed to be a test. And I kind of announced, like, hey, thanks so much for listening. This was probably going to be the last episode. And a bunch of people said, no, you're saying everything else. You're saying the things that everybody else is thinking.
Sure.
And so I've been doing it for a while now.
Yeah. It's a great venue. And I really have enjoyed the shows that I've listened to. They're just because, yeah, like you do say things that people should be paying attention to, but maybe no one has been kind enough or outrageous enough to say it to their face.
Yeah. I try to be the early ones of those. I was. So what's the word? Direct, okay. Shall we say. I was very direct. And now I try to do the whole, well, here's what I liked about it. And then here's, like, one, there was just a ton of intro music, you know, and I would sit there and go, and the voiceover comes in. Okay, not yet. Okay. And the voiceover comes in. Okay. You know, and then it would just stop.
Yeah.
So you've got this cool little, you know, and you're waiting for it to fade out or something. And you're like, okay, that was a little abrupt. So, you know, so yeah. I try to be a little kindler, gentler version of than the early shows. But but, you know, depending on what that person did to learn how to podcast or, you know, what their background is, they may not know this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of us, when we start podcasting, we're just starting from nothing. We have nothing really to reference. Yeah. And
I think my favorite was somebody, don't do this, they had taken their phone, they put it on speaker, and the host and the co-host were probably at a table somewhere. Well, it wasn't somewhere. They were in the mall, and they were eating pizza.
Oh.
And so they were sitting there kind of chomping on the pizza, and then you hear the sound of the mall, so you got the Muzak in the background, and they're talking about what they should talk about on the podcast. And I'm like, you know, that's a really good conversation to have after, you know, or before you press record. And maybe not in the mall, and maybe everybody should have their own mic. But yeah, so
it's one of those things. Eating.
Maybe not eating. Yeah. So the good news is there's no rules for podcasting. You can absolutely do that. I always say there are best practices, and yes, not eating at the mall with one microphone on the tape. Yeah. So, and yeah. I just pull out, you go, yeah, I wouldn't listen to this, but that's just me. You know, your opinion may differ.
So did you ever have a podcast that you reviewed that you thought was just perfect?
I've had a few. It's usually it's because really I'm not looking for much. I'm not really a stickler. It's introduce the show and then introduce the topic of the day, whatever it is. So and then at that point, I know I'm in the right place and I know I want to hang around and then get to the content. It's really because it's really just a first impression. And so many people don't do that. They assume because you saw the name of the show, you know, that you know what the show is about. But, it, you know, it doesn't take much to say, hey, welcome to the blah, blah, blah show where we blah, blah. So you can yada, yada, yada. On today's show, we're going to talk about such and such.
Yep.
There you go. And you're done. And so many people don't do that. Or the other one, and I've been guilty of this, the double intro where you go, hey, on today's show, we're going to talk to Jim Smith. Jim is the head of such and such and blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, here's my interview with Jim Smith. And then you hear, hey, I'm here with Jim Smith, and you're like, the old double intro. I'm like, yeah, that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Or we have three co-hosts, and everybody has to be funny when you say their name. So it's like, hey, I'm Steve, and I'm Wendy, and then there's somebody's like, hey, I'm Yo-Yo in the trash can, and you're like, what? You know? Or I was just listening to, is it Relentless? No, it's on. It's Justin Bateman. It's a really popular show on Wondery.
Oh.
And this is where you learn the rules that celebrities get different rules. Mm-hmm. And they were talking with the drummer from Metallica. And they were talking about some guy that they all knew. Well, I don't know that guy. And they're all laughing because, oh, that is such a Mike thing. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know Mike, so I don't get the joke. And I see that a lot with, especially if you're doing a podcast with your best friend.
Oh,
and they're like, oh man, orange Gatorade, orange Gatorade, orange Gatorade. And you're like, I don't get it, guys. Why is orange Gatorade funny?
I don't know either. Yeah.
This has been part one of our interview. I hope you'll tune in next week for part two. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.